It's 8:14 now. Good morning. Well, as we've reported, the South Summit School District has announced its intention to place a building bond on this November's ballot. In the studio with an update, I have the superintendent of the district, Shad Sorensen, along with business administrator Kit Bigelow. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So at this point, do we know how much you plan to ask voters for?
We do not. We are in the process of designing the school, and we are looking at the costs that are associated with building the school, and then we hope probably closer to the springtime to have that dollar amount. We're hoping the tariffs and things like that help us to better identify construction costs than they're able to do today, which is something we're crossing our fingers for.
Yeah, have you watched, Kip, those construction costs go up?
Yes, they've gone up significantly. As we've visited with our construction managers and architects over the last 3 years, you know, it's gone up 10 to 11% per year. So that's a frightening side of the story.
Yeah. So, Shad, the money that you plan to bond for would be to build a new high school on the 150 acres of property that the district owns just outside the Kama city limits?
Yes. That allows us to do grade realignments in our other three buildings in Camas so that we have room for growth. And so that is why the Board of Education really, even after that failed bond attempt and studied everything and looked at all sorts of possible options, came back to the new high school really helps all students.
And the current high school would be used how?
The current high school would be converted to our grades 6 through 8 school.
Okay. So how much do you have money in the budget then just to do that out of pocket, or you'd need to bond for that as well?
For the restructuring of the schools? No, regardless of which grades are in there, we've worked on a capital improvement plan, and we've identified projects that need to be done in all of those buildings, and we'll continue to move forward. But we would be able to handle the realignment with minimal expense.
Okay. Before we get into those capital improvement projects, you have been working on, or the board has been working on, a master plan and then a study on projected student growth. So are those final at this point?
We did get, the preliminary numbers last week. We had a representative from the consulting firm who's been helping attend our board meeting. And as we look out for the next 10 years, projections are, as they've looked at new construction within the county, within each of the various cities within the South Summit School District boundaries, looks like we could have about a 48% increase in student population over the next 10 years. Again, they're all based on what construction projects are being talked about. We use a student-to-household ratio to try to project those numbers going forward. And again, as we looked at it last week, it's about a 48% in the next 10 years.
All right, so we're talking about almost a 5% increase then?
Yes.
Each year?
And right now we're just barely under 4% increase each year for the last 3 years, so pretty much stays in line with that.
Right. So given that, I mean, how big of a new high school then do you build?
Our projections is to build a high school for 750 students, which would also be a design that could add classrooms later on to accommodate future growth past that period of time.
Yeah. How many students do you currently have in the high school?
We're just under 500 right now.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about where that growth is coming from. I mean, is that what they projected out? Of course, Silver Creek Village, once that comes online with some 1,300 homes, you can expect to see a bunch of development there.
Yeah, the major growth will be in the Silver Creek Village area. However, as they look at potential growth in the Camas Valley, Francis and Camas both have a considerable amount of growth that looks like could occur there in the next few years. So kind of spread out throughout the district, but again, Silver Creek area will be the major growth area.
Right, and what we've got is the Silver Summit Academy. Does that go K through 12?
It does at this point in time, and we've got a second building to handle the expansion, which is part of the original plan. But I think the thing that is really interesting is you look at this plan, our schools, and they came in and evaluated based on square footage and student enrollment, the capacity. And all of our schools are at or nearing capacity already without any growth. And so that only leaves a few options available if you didn't bond and build a new school, which would be modulars, which we do not have the land for because we're in a landlocked campus situation, or year-round school, and that was not a very popular option.
Right. That got people's attention, though, when you started talking about it.
Yeah. But still a viable option if that's the only alternative.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the Silver Summit Academy, then, would you just limit that to students living in Silver Creek Village?
That's the primary purpose. It would serve as the neighborhood school for that area. And then if there are spaces available, that would be based on the open enrollment laws of the state of Utah.
Yeah, Park City just went through this exercise, and that is to determine which schools are closed to out-of-district students. What did the board decide in South Summit?
We have not closed any schools at this point, but it is certainly something that we're thinking about and giving consideration to based on growth.
Yeah, but so you'd have to accept them for the coming school year then, any out-of-district.
Right.
Yeah, do you see a lot of folks coming from out-of-district?
We do, and especially with the Silver Summit Academy, over 50% of our students currently are out-of-district in that school, but that's not surprising considering the housing hasn't started yet for that area. And so we knew we needed a presence and we needed a place. It was a little bit surprising of how many students from out of district came and filled that right to capacity in its first year of operation.
And are they from Park City, or are we talking Wasatch County? Or
all of the above. Mm-hmm. Park City, Wasatch. We even have some coming up from Salt Lake City.
Okay. So what happens now between now and November?
Lots of work. our role as a district is to make sure that the voters have the information that they need to make the decision that they feel is best. And so we are doing everything that we can to make sure that they not only know the enrollment situation and the growth situation, but what they would actually be bonding for, how much they would be bonding, what the school would look like. And so we're doing all of that preliminary work so that they can make a well-informed decision.
Hmm. I guess, meanwhile, you've put together a list of capital improvement projects. Has that been approved for the coming school year then? Or is it?
Yes, as part of the master planning, master planning process that took place a couple of years ago, we identified several needs in the existing buildings. Just recently, we sat down again with the contractors and architects, and we tried to identify those that we felt pertained to life safety issues and prioritize those to the top. What we're focusing on right now is there's some roofing needs in each of our buildings. The buildings are getting a little bit older, most of them 30 plus years old now. So some of those original structures are needing to be looked at. And so the roofing needs will be number one. To comply with some of the state regulations, each building now has to have carbon monoxide detectors, and that's part of the program to go through our master planning. So for the next year, for summer of 2019, we've listed mainly the roofing situation that will be taken care of. Others are just life expectancy, boilers, furnace, heating and air conditioning type things that are probably reaching the end of their useful life but are still functioning. And so some of those were looked at, and it will be an ongoing process for the next several years.
So do you wait for the boiler and the furnaces to go out, or you try and just...
We monitor those pretty close as they start to have problems. Hopefully it won't be to the point where they actually go out and don't work at all, but as repairs are needed and those repairs step up, then those are things that we look at and make the decision to replace.
Yeah. So what have you put the price tag at then for capital improvements for summer 2019?
Right now, it's a little over $11 million. The bids are not out yet. They're actually going through the design phase now, and then it will go out for a bid process. We're hoping through that bid process that number will come down. But given the current economy and things that are happening, it's unlikely.
Mm. Anything else you wanted to mention about that?
I don't believe so on that portion of it.
Okay. And then, Shad, you wanted to talk a little bit about the partnerships that you have with organizations in the county itself, to address some mental health issues. What are we talking about here?
One of the things that I've been really grateful for is the partnership and collaboration we have within our county. And as the Connect organization was formed, they reached out to the South Summit community and have been present at our opportunities nights and have asked, what can we do to support? And then recently we are having a conversation. There is a private donor that wants to provide some school psychology or school counseling support for the county, including South Summit and North Summit. And I just think that is wonderful that even though we're three different school districts, the well-being of all of our community is being considered by people outside of our school district.
So this money's coming from a private individual and then what, given to the county itself?
Through the Communities That Care program.
How much are we talking about?
I probably better not be at liberty to say that right now, but as we meet with Aaron Newman, I'll know more about that.
So what do you plan to do with the money then?
Well, we definitely need support in both of our counseling and in our school psychology areas, and so I think we will be looking to team up with North Summit and with the county to find somebody that can provide those types of services.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a counselor in each of the schools?
We do. In fact, we have elementary school counselors. We received a state grant this year, and so we were able to hire an additional elementary school counselor, which is becoming so apparent in our school systems with behavior and with the trauma that they are bringing with them outside of the school to have that as part of the system.
Yeah. Happy to see what the governor's proposing in terms of an education budget?
Absolutely. We're hearing some rumors that things will be good, but there are also some concerns with the education budget that we're hearing, so I'm anxious to have it released.
Okay. Anything else you guys wanted to mention?
Just one other thing. I know this is way down the road, but our scholarship gala is on May 14th, and we have so many of the employers here in Park City that employ our students or employ families, and we would love them to be part of our scholarship gala and support us by coming and sponsoring a table and being with our students that evening. So if you're interested, listeners out there, it's May 14th. Contact me and we'll get you hooked up.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention, Kip?
No, thanks for having us.
Kip Bigelow and Chad Sorensen with the South Summit School District. KPCW News Time now, 8:26.
A family who struggled with addiction, survival, relapse, and recovery is documented in the book Beautiful Boy, written by award-winning journalist and author David Sheff. On Saturday, David will join his son, Nick, who has written his own book about addiction, relapse, and survival called Tweak. The two books have been made into the film titled Beautiful Boy that was released in October. The father-son duo will be presenting December 15th at the Park City Echo Center. David Sheff joins me now on the phone. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How is the family doing now? Everyone healthy?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. After everything, yeah, we're just so lucky. Nick, who almost didn't make it, just turned 36, and he's been sober now for 8 years. Daisy and Jasper, my younger kids, Daisy just turned 22. Jasper's going to be 25 next week. After everything we were through, I feel so grateful. It feels kind of like a miracle, and especially we feel lucky when given what's going on right now in this country, when 200 people are dying every single day because of overdose on drugs. So, there's not a day that doesn't go by when I don't bless or feel blessed.
Yeah. So what's your message in speaking engagements like this?
Well, the message is that, first of all, we have to talk about this. This is a problem that always, because of the association that we make with drug use and addiction, that, people who use drugs are bad people. We don't want to talk about it. We shame them. We think it's about willpower. So I want people to understand that that's not what it's about, that addiction is a mental illness, and people who become addicted are ill, and they need our compassion, and they also need treatment. They need the best medical treatment that we have to offer. The other thing is that there are so many people who are suffering at this time when there is this opioid epidemic and other drugs are making a comeback, for instance, methamphetamine and cocaine, and so many people are overdosing, that people need to feel that they aren't alone. And so my hope is that, there is power when we share our stories. We can affirm one another's experience, and we can offer each other comfort and support.
Mm-hmm. And not for you to speak for your son, Nick, but does he have a different message?
No, I think his message is exactly the same thing. And I feel like, you know, he will tell you that, you know, he feels so lucky. And part of that luck, part of that good fortune, I guess, feels to him, as it feels to me, like it comes with a responsibility to try to, you know, stay involved, to try to connect with families, to try to support people who are going through this, and to try to offer suggestions for people when they need help. Nick spends a lot of time talking to kids in high schools. I think it has a powerful impact because, you know, he is them and they're him. You know, they can relate to him. It wasn't that long ago when he was in high school, and he understands how hard it is to be in high school, and he understands the seduction of drugs and the way that drugs can appear to solve, you know, the problems of a kid, of a teenager. So it's, you know, it's something that I think he's very, very committed to and passionate about.
Yeah, I was trying to work out the timeline. It looks like his book, Tweak, was published in 2007, so that was while he was using, yeah?
Yeah, well, he was clean for a while at that point. He had gotten sober, and I think he'd been sober for about a year and a half when his book came out. And then, you know, he thought it was, you know, that his addiction was in the past, and of course we learned very quickly that it's not as easy as that, that this is something that requires, in many cases, it requires a lifetime of attention to. And so I would say, you know, what Nick has talked about is that the stress has increased. He was really, he was in a situation one time where he felt, he was just at a party, he thought, he went into the bathroom, he opened the medicine cabinet, which is what I guess people who are addicted do. And he said that there was a bottle of Vicodin, and he thought, oh, I'll just take a half. You know, it'll help me get through this party. So he took a half, and then, you know, he went back to the bathroom later. He took another half, and eventually, you know, he took the bottle, and you know, his descent began again very quickly.
Yeah, and this happening, I'm guessing, after a few episodes of costly rehab for Nick, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, we're talking about a period that happened over 10 years. Since he was about 25 years old, he must have gone into about 6 or 7 residential programs, about the same number of outpatient programs. He saw therapists. He was in sober living houses. He saw psychiatrists. And we did what people who are going through this do, which is just the best we could. And we didn't know what we were doing. A lot of times we got really bad advice. When I look back, I realized that some of the advice was dangerous, actually, and I sent Nick to programs that were appalling. We, you know, our insurance covered some of it. We had to, I had to make arrangements with treatment centers to pay them off over time and to sort of negotiate deals. I mean, all the kinds of things that are appalling and that we would never, ever have to do if we were dealing with another health problem.
And so when parents listening who may be going through a similar experience, I mean, I heard you use the word compassion before. Lots of times we hear tough love, let them hit rock bottom. I mean, I think you're telling me, no, it's unconditional love and you do whatever you can for as long as you can?
Yes, you got it. I completely reject the idea of tough love and this idea that we have to let people who are addicted hit bottom. It's a complete contradiction to what we know about addiction. I mean, when we know that addiction is a disease and it's progressive, you know, meaning if it's not being treated, it gets worse, then we know that the last thing we want is somebody to hit bottom. We don't want them to get worse. We want to catch them before they get worse because, first of all, it's easier to treat. Second of all, there's less damage to their bodies and their lives overall. And, of course, you know, every time somebody uses, they can relapse and die and overdose. I've gotten letters from parents who've told me, you know, as one dad said, they kept telling me over and over again, you know, to use tough love, not to help him, to close the door, and I finally did. He went out that night. He relapsed, he overdosed, and he died. He said, you know, was my life tough enough? It's appalling that that's the message that we're given.
Certainly there had to be times, though, that given just the impacts on the rest of the family, the spouses, the other children, the siblings, you had to want to walk away, no?
Yeah. I mean, even as I say that, you know, I would not have given up for anything because I was not ever going to give up on my son, and I feel like most parents feel that way. It's the hardest thing in the world. It is also completely overwhelming. You know, I was emotionally just devastated. I mean, I don't know. There were times when I didn't think I would get through. I wouldn't have gotten through if it wasn't for my wife and the rest of our family. But at the same time, you know, my son was dying. And so as much as it was overwhelming and stressful and it was hard for me to function, you know, to work, to take care of our other children, to do anything, you know, I wasn't going to give up. And I feel like, you know, that's the message that I would give to other people, families going through this. It's that, yeah, it's hell. It's incredibly hard, but don't give up.
The book that you wrote, Clean, I think that looks at the science of addiction. I mean,
that's right.
What do we know about the science of addiction? I mean, we certainly know people have addictions to drugs and alcohol. Now we're talking about addictions to our cell phones.
Yeah. Well, there's been an evolution of what we understand about addiction, and what we think about addiction, how we think about addiction, and what we now know is that addiction is a brain disease, and it's that people who become addicted, their brains stop functioning in the same way that other brains do, that my brain does, because I'm not addicted. And it's all about this reward system in our brains that responds to the kinds of rewards that actually kept our species alive, you know, in our earliest days. You know, we wanted to, you know, pleasure was associated with survival, you know, eating, sex, procreation. And so what happens is that, you know, part of our brain gets activated, dopamine flows, it sort of gushes out, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more. And in a brain of somebody who's addicted, that system is broken. And this idea that we want more, it doesn't shut off. And because the brain doesn't get the minimum amount of the neurotransmitter, it feels like it's starving, and that really is what it's like. And that similar dynamic happens with other addictions, and it can happen with sex addiction, with gambling addiction, and indeed, every time, you know, we look at our phones, there is a little rush of dopamine, and for some people, video games, other electronics stuff, you know, cell phones, absolutely can become addictive. And people say, you know, just stop, don't use them as much. And a lot of people say that, you know, I would if I could. It's not the same as drug addiction, because drug addiction comes with the chemical piece or the toxicity, you know, the fact that it actually does damage. So in some ways, drug addiction is harder to treat and it's more complicated. But they all are similar in that way.
Well, father and son David and Nick Sheff will be at the Eccles Center Saturday, December 15th. Tickets start at $29. For tickets and more information, parkcityinstitute.org. David Sheff, we look forward to your visit. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
It's 8:39 now. Good morning. Well, the Summit County Health Department encourages parents to be aware of suicide risk factors and warning signs students may exhibit during the holiday season. In the studio, working to get that message out, I have Summit County Health Department spokeswoman Shelley Worley. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Yeah, so how is this time of year different than maybe other times of the year?
You know, students, young people deal with the same type of struggles as adults through the holiday season. They have a lot of responsibilities and have a lot of activities on their plate between school, finals, test exams, social responsibilities and commitments, sports, and emotional stress. So the holidays tend to increase anxiety and stress, and sometimes can lead to depression. So we just want to make sure parents and guardians are looking out for their students and touching in with them on a regular basis to see what they might need through this season.
Yes. Do we have any statistics of increased suicide rates during this time of year?
No, we don't necessarily see an increase in the suicide rates, but we do see an increase in anxiety and stress. And the longer those persist, then suicide can become a concern. And we just want to make sure that we are aware of these so they no longer persist and that we can address them at the time. And one of the things that we recommend for parents is to be in communication with your student and see what they need, because they might need, we might need to remind our kids to, hey, you need to take a study break. You need to get out and you need to be physically active for a little bit. If your student's not getting enough sleep, that can really impact their level of energy. It can impact their emotional state. And we just want to keep an eye on that through this holiday season and not let it linger. We want parents to look for extreme changes, maybe in their child's behavior, if they become irritable and aggressive, or maybe if they withdraw from activities. These are the type of things that we want parents to be looking for and to reach out to their young person and ask how they're doing and check in with them.
Yeah. So I guess if a parent should notice some of these symptoms or warning signs, I mean, what do they do other than just
talk with a kid? So the first thing is to ask your child exactly what is going on. How can I help you? Do you need help with, is anything going on with your friends or is it school or how are you feeling? And then if you feel that you need to really pursue that conversation more, then we can start addressing lines of questioning about suicide and making sure that they're not considering that. So, and if they are, then we need to find the resources that they need. So I often recommend for parents to follow the same line of questioning that we offer with our training called Question, Persuade, and Refer, and to question your child. Have you considered suicide? Have you considered harming yourself? And that is a really difficult conversation as a parent to have with your child. I've actually had to have it with one of my boys. And it is frightening to have. But at the same time, what happens is it opens this line of conversation that you can have with your child that they may not be considering suicide, but they may be struggling in other areas. And that you have stopped and taken the time to ask them that offers them relief. And if the question is answered with a yes, I have considered that, then we have resources available for parents and students to take advantage of.
So what resources are out there besides just the parents?
Right. So there's a statewide crisis line, which is 1-800-273-8255. But another app that we have available to all parents and students is called a SafeUT app, which you can download on your phone. And students have found this very useful. It's an app where 24/7 there is a mental health professional that you can communicate with anytime during the day or night. And students like it because they can text and get responses immediately from these mental health professionals. So students can reach out or parents can reach out and ask these mental health professionals for help and share their concerns. Also, we have Valley Behavioral Health. Their Summit County line is 435-649-8347. And then Connect Summit County has a great non-crisis resource directory, which list all the available resources within our community, and that is www.summit.ut.networkofcare.org. And they have, like I said, a great list of resources available for anyone within our community.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, just take the time and enjoy this time with your students and make sure they don't need anything and make sure they're getting enough sleep and physical activity and some really great nutrition.